The SOH Network presents AsiaCast, keeping you across the top headlines from the Asia Pacific.
For the SOH News Roundup, week ending Friday, September 30th, I'm Rich Crankshaw with AsiaCast. In this bulletin, another train crash dents China's rail safety record, discontent growing over land exportation, fans rally for silenced Indonesian broadcaster, and Asia increasing IT competitiveness. But first, our SOH focus on China. Hundreds of passengers were injured in a rear-end train collision on a one-year-old Shanghai subway track Tuesday, September 27th. State-owned Media First said that a signal malfunction was to blame for the collision, but then published a statement on September 28th attributing the accident to a power failure and operator error. An engineer familiar with subway safety has characterized the system as unreliable and profit-driven. The accident called further attention to China's dubious public infrastructure safety record after the devastating Wenzhou high-speed rail collision in July. In the Shanghai crash, 284 passengers were injured, according to official figures. Shanghai Shentong Metro Group, which manages the subway, apologized online, saying, "This is the darkest day ever for the Shanghai subway." Thousands of residents in two southern Chinese townships recently took to the streets over unfair land exportation. A protest in Wukan was triggered September 21st when villagers learned that one of the last pieces of the villagers' land had been sold to a developer and construction work was about to begin. Villagers have accused village officials of secretly selling their land, and villagers demand authorities disclose accounting details of the land transactions. The next morning, authorities dispatched paramilitary officers and riot police, along with anti-riot vehicles, to suppress the protest, but were met with strong resistance from angry villagers who overturned 7 of 8 police vehicles. The protest in Wukan gave rise to similar unrest in other villages of Liufeng City. On September 23rd, about 2,000 villagers of the neighboring Longguang village protested to the Liufeng municipal government. This time, a city official came out and said he would investigate the issue and get back to them. Longguang villagers told RFA that they had been petitioning for 6 years with no avail, from the provincial level of Guangdong to the municipal level of Liufeng. They also said every village has been struggling with illegal land seizures. The wife of Chinese artist Ai Weiwei has written a letter to the Legal Working Committee of China's National People's Congress. Liu Qing is urging them to reject proposed changes to the criminal procedure law. The changes would legalize holding suspects in secret locations for up to 6 months, in some cases without informing their families. Police arrested Ai Weiwei at the Beijing airport on April 3rd. Ai was then held in a secret location for 81 days. Liu describes in the letter the frantic search for Ai by family and friends. The family had not been notified of his whereabouts. The incident sparked an international outcry. Ai Weiwei was eventually released, but is still under investigation for alleged tax evasion. He's officially banned from speaking to the media. SOH takes a look across the wider Asia-Pacific region. Supporters of independent Indonesian broadcaster Radio Irtibadu have protested the station's forced closure and use of its frequency by another radio station. Radio Irtibadu fans gathered in front of the headquarters of Sing FM, the station that's been given their broadcast frequency Sunday, September 25th. The protesters called for Radio Irtibadu to put back on the air on its 106.5 FM frequency for the Sing FM to move to another frequency. They also want the authorities to protect the rights of Indonesian citizens to obtain information from Radio Irtibadu's broadcasts and stop bowing to pressure from the Chinese embassy in Jakarta. The protest came about when dozens of Indonesian officials burst into the studios of Radio Irtibadu Tuesday, September 13th. They walked back out with key broadcasting equipment, despite failing to give any warrant authorizing their seizure to the station. Officials claimed the station had to be shut down because its broadcasting was disrupting the air traffic in the nearby city-state of Singapore. But within hours, Sing FM was broadcasting on 106.5 FM, Radio Irtibadu's frequency, calling the claim into question. Coming up on AsiaCast, accusations mainland interfering with Taipei protests, Indonesian students protest lazy lecturers, and Australia clears way for female frontline troops.
Music. You are listening to AsiaCast from the SOH Network.
Back with the rest of today's AsiaCast, I'm Rich Crankshaw. The Mainland Affairs Council in Taiwan Thursday, September 29th, rebutted an accusation that Chinese authorities were trying to block a planned anti-Chinese demonstration held in Taipei. Two Taiwanese businessmen earlier said they had fallen victim to scams perpetrated by their Chinese partners in collaboration with members of China's judiciary. The pair are planning to protest in Taipei against such practices in the mainland. But one of the organizers said he received threatening phone calls from Chinese officials in Fujian province who said they would investigate the event and collect evidence against him if he failed to cancel the demonstration. The Mainland Affairs Council said there wasn't any evidence of interference from the mainland with the two previous similar demonstrations. Typhoon Nasat swept through Hong Kong Thursday, September 29th, with winds gusting up to 70 miles an hour, closing markets, schools, and most businesses. The stock market and government offices were also closed for the day. Nasat hit Hong Kong straight after striking the Philippines, where it left at least 35 dead and dozens missing. No deaths were initially reported in Hong Kong, but local television showed footage of at least two people being hospitalized after falling debris hit them. According to the Jakarta Post, Indonesian students have protested against what they said are lazy university lecturers. Dozens of students demonstrated at the Aceh Siak Kuala University because they said since August, only a minuscule portion of their 30 teachers have regularly come to teach them. In the demonstration, students gave speeches about the woeful state of the university, and some of the students called for a boycott of the institute. According to the Jakarta Post, the university said students should understand that teachers have to attend training sessions, adding that the situation would return to normal. The Australian government is lifting restrictions on female soldiers, allowing them to serve in front-line combat roles. The announcement Tuesday, September 27th, means specialized military portions such as elite special forces, which were only available to men, will be available to women within 5 years if they meet the criteria for those roles. Women can serve in 93% of employment categories in the Australian Army, Navy, and Air Force. However, the Defense Ministry said women currently cannot serve as infantry, Navy clearance divers, mine clearance divers, or operate artillery. Australia currently has around 1,500 troops stationed in Afghanistan, but those are to be withdrawn over the next several years. On a lighter note, a study released Tuesday, September 27th, showed as Asian economies strengthen copyright protection and implement regulatory reforms, they are closing the gap on the West in terms of their IT competitiveness. The report by the Economist Intelligence Unit says while the West leads the world in terms of an attractive place for IT firms to work, more Asian nations are moving up the ladder. The United States retained its position as the world's most competitive IT industry this year, with Europe dominating the top 20. The competitiveness index was based on criteria ranging from foreign investment policies to infrastructure and copyright protection. But seven Asian economies managed to make it to the top 20: Singapore 3, Australia 8, Taiwan 13, Japan 16, New Zealand 18, South Korea 19, and Hong Kong 19. Malaysia and India recorded the sharpest improvements among the 66 economies surveyed worldwide. Rich Crankshaw, SOH Network.
AsiaCast, keeping you across the top headlines from the Asia Pacific.